Okay, as the sound drifts away. Hour number three tonight, I'm going to go down to Las Vegas and talk to Gary, find out what's happening from his perspective. Welcome back, Gary.
How's it going tonight, Jeff?
On top of the world, watching the madness. What are your thoughts on the selection? Are they going to, if they give us the commie camel and weird walls, we're done. I mean, that'll do it. That will do it. And if they give us Trump, it'll just be a different transit to probably a similar location. Go ahead.
As you know, they select people who are going to be the face of what their agenda is.
That's right.
If you've seen that speech, that laughable mess of a speech, say, from Ho Harris, basically she's just saying, I have no economic plan whatsoever. I'm just going to go full, straight up, hardcore communist, price controls. We tried that, by the way, in the 1970s. Jimmy Carter did, if you remember, right? And next thing you know, we were sitting in line, not me personally, because I was a child at that point, but my mother and father and my other relatives, I remember sitting in their cars waiting in 2 and 3 hour gas lines on even days, because they had odd even days, depending on what was the last
number. That was all
of
on Jimmy Carter, too. I forgot.
Yep. And that was totally had to do with price controls, because he tried to control the price of not only oil, but he also tried to control the price of gas coming out of the refineries. And, well, they learned a quick lesson on what that was about, and he had to reverse it pretty quick. But during that time, it took, even after, by the way, even after he ended that policy, it took months for that to fully correct itself. What she's saying is that grocery stores are gouging people, but if you look at any of the major grocery chains in the United States, they run anywhere between a 1 to 2% profit margin. I knew a guy who was a manager at a what they used to call them, Sherfines. I don't know if anyone remembers them, grocery stores, or that's a very long time ago. But he was a member. He was a manager of a Sherfine, and by the time he was done with payroll and the expenses and everything else, he barely was pulling 1% profit.
The only way to make money in that circumstance is a large volume. You've got to do big money in terms of gross sales, and if you think about it. Just to try and make the point, a $4.50 loaf of bread would end up being what? 45? No, that's 10%. Four and a half cents profit? 1%?
Yeah.
Gee.
Yeah, they don't make much money. I mean, the wholesale cost to retail. See, the what no one's been paying attention to, as you know, the BS numbers coming out of the government when the CPI, nobody in their right mind believes that CPI was at 2.9% this month. Nobody. I mean, it's just laughable.
Crazy.
And the only reason why, if you notice, why the U.S. government has been winding down inflation, well, what comes up in the next couple of months? Well, that's when they announce the new COLA rates for Social Security, veterans retirement, military, DOD retirement, federal worker retirement, railroad retirement. They're all based on the COLA. So, and the U.S. government has to pay whatever these social programs, they all get pay raises through CPI. So it's based on that.
Right.
According
we should
to
mention
read,
that COLA, define COLA. It's the cost of living, but that's about it.
Yes, it's a cost of living allowance. So COLA, meaning they're saying to a person, say on Social Security, on Social Security, for instance, they're saying this year they're estimating the raise Social Security will get is 2.6% this year. So if you make $700, your pay raise is going to be $14. So what they're saying is you were only this year when you're on your Social Security, everything's only going to cost $14 more than it did for you last year, $14 per month more, which is completely insane. No one believes that. I mean, and nobody believes that, but they have to. They have no choice. You know, they're not going to tell the truth to anybody. I mean, they're not going to tell the truth that Social Security fund is broke. Why is it broke? It's broke because there's just piles of IOU notes. Because one of the largest lenders to the U.S. government has been the Social Security Fund, the Railroad Retirement Fund, the Military Retirement Fund, the Federal Worker Retirement Funds. All them retirement funds have been raided, and they're empty. And, you know, they're just papering it over with IOU notes, which is funny. I've heard people on TV, on different these mainstream media programs, have with a straight face saying, well, technically Social Security ain't broke because what they did with the Social Security funds was buy treasury notes. Treasury notes. Junk bonds. You know, anyone who buys a U.S. treasury note is buying a junk bond. I mean, I don't care you can try to convince me otherwise. It's junk bonds. And so what they do with the Social Security Fund is they bought massive amounts of junk bonds. They did that they started doing that in the 1990s under Bill Clinton. So what they did is they took short-term loans and long-term bonds, and what they would do with the Social Security Fund was they would take portions of the Social Security Fund when they knew, okay, well, in 30 years, we're going to have these many people retiring, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to buy so many 30-year bonds, so many different, all these different denomination of bonds of years. And so instead of refunding back the Social Security Fund when a 30-year bond matures, which they're starting to mature now to 30 years, you got to remember, they started buying them in 1993 and 94. So the first wave of these 30-year bonds under Bill Clinton that were bought and stolen that money out of Social Security are starting to come to fruition. Well, what did they do? They didn't like replace any funds into the Social Security Fund. What they did is just rolled over another 30 years of bonds again. So there is no paying back the Social Security Fund, and they know this. So again, we go back to inflation. 2.9% is a fantasy. You know, I go with Peter Schiff said, if you see whatever official number comes out from the U.S. government when it comes to the CPI, he said either times it by 2 or 3. And that's probably kind of close to what real inflation is. Real inflation right now, as we know, is running at least 9 to 12%. And depending on what service or good, certain goods are a little bit cheaper, but some services, for instance, insurance, California, for instance, my brother-in-law just had a 54% increase on his six-month premium on his insurance for his cars. His house policy, Jeff, went up 70%.
Well, that's what happened. I had a story about a month ago. Insurance companies told California government officials they were leaving the state and would no longer offer insurance to anyone unless they were allowed to raise their rates. Now you're talking about a 70% rate hike on home insurance? Wow. Is that part of the process of making people own nothing and be happy? You can't afford it.
Well, you know, he's a small landlord. You know, he owns some properties, rental properties. But that's not included. This is his own individual house. His rental properties, by the way, are set to probably, he's going to get whacked harder, much harder on the rental properties. Because the rental properties, you got to understand also, what are you dealing with? Well, you're dealing with renters, you know, common area lawsuits, you know, just the nightmare that comes with rental properties, which I had one in California at one time. And believe me, even during that time, which was in the late 1990s, it was like waterboard torture. Like, they had these attorneys, Jeff, that like, if you'd have a renter who didn't pay, you try to evict them for not paying. they would hire what they called back then landlord torturers. And they were just legal firms that you pay a flat fee to, basically a lot of one lawyer with a bunch of paralegals. And they just keep filing nonstop motions and motion after motion after motion after motion. And they end up staying about an extra sometimes 90 to 120 days for free in your apartment or your unit, which in my case I had a fourplex. And what they did, every time you go in there, carpets would be torn up, Jeb. They'd steal copper out of the walls, destroy the sinks, paint graffiti, every cruel thing you can imagine, they did. And, of course, then you put in another few thousands of dollars to repair, to get it built, you know, and to get up to standard to rent again. And, by the way, I use professional agencies to screen renters. California, even back then, was screwed up. I can imagine what it's like now. We're talking 25, 26, 27 years later. I couldn't imagine. I know my brother-in-law goes through nightmares dealing with people. I mean, just California right now, Jeff, if you're a landlord, I would highly suggest you sell and get out of there ASAP because it's only going to get worse. They do not care about landlords. People are now, like, even if they don't pay their rent, I heard they're staying up to 6-7 months by just filing silly legal motions. The judges favoritize the tenants, and then they after the process, say, for instance, I get a judgment, right? I get an eviction judgment. Even back when I was doing it, when I had a property, it was a nightmare. Even after you get the eviction order from a judge who signs it, then you have to bring it to the sheriff's department, and the sheriff's department might be like 2 or 3 months backlogged. You know, it all depends when the sheriff's department wants to serve the person, and then it's up to the sheriff's department to schedule a day to actually do a lockout. Well, that might take 2 or 3 more months. Some people are probably right now not paying their rent, and I'm talking this is even before COVID rules, but after COVID it went completely bananas. They're probably staying after not paying rent, and you're going through because you got to go through. You have to serve them on an official pay rent or quit notice. Then you file the motion in California court. This is when I was doing it. I'm sure it's pretty close to the same still. You have now. I think it used to be you could only have to do a 3-day pay or quit. Now it's probably 7 or 10 days. I think it is. So after 10 days, you show proof that you did. You filed. You gave them a 10-day notice to pay or quit. And then when you file, now instead of giving them not only 30 days, now we're talking 30 court days to answer your motion to evict them. Now it's 45 days. So now you have 45 court days to answer a landlord's eviction filing. So guess what most people do, you know, when they're going to be thrown out? Well, they wait the full 45 days. Then when you schedule the court hearing, I hear the courts are backlogged. Your hearing might take another 2 or 3 months just to get a hearing. Then when you finally get the hearing, the judge will always rule in favor of the landlord. They have no choice. I mean, by that point, they've already been there 6, 7, 8 months for free. Then you have to, again, you go through that nightmare with the sheriff's department. You go to the bailiff's office, and it takes anywhere up to, like I said, 2 to sometimes 3 months if they're backlogged to do a lockout. And and I've heard cases from people where even during the lockout, lawyers were able to bring a motion in the court and open the hearing. So let me explain what to people out there. This is California, what that means. So say I do all that. It's been 9.5 months. Mm-hmm. Sheriff posts the door, says, you know, you have this to this date, you're going to be locked out. If they are able to get an attorney, right, and an attorney's good enough to be able to get into that court and challenge a motions one way or the other, that appointment date for the lockout gets canceled. Then they have to have another hearing. That could be another 4 or 5 months. That's what they do down there. So I don't understand for the life of me how anyone could be a landlord anymore in California.
It sounds like you're describing a whole a new industry for attorneys, horror attorneys, to do this.
Oh.
Representing house squatters. They're house thieves.
Yep.
Yeah, this is bad. Real bad.
Who
wants that grief? Gary, who wants that grief?
Nobody.
No, and that's the whole point. No.
That's the whole point. So you get like Blackstone coming in.
Yeah, they'll buy it right.
You know, Vanguard, State Street, BlackRock, all these huge investors. They have these companies out there called American, I think it's called American AMH or something. The name of the company is AHC, American Home Corporation. They're just buying up out here in Las Vegas. They're buying like huge, like 40, 50 houses at a time, new houses going up, and they're just renting them out. See, they're big corporations buying them up. But the mom and pops are in the same boat, so they have to deal with all this. And Harris wants that style landlord-tenant relationship to go full nationwide. If you listen to some of the things she's talking about, landlord-tenant, renter's rights, capping rent, you know, capping the cost of raising rents, right, at 5%,
right.
Rent control. That's a nightmare because I'm going to explain. Rent control on the surface to everyone sounds wonderful, but it isn't, because what it does, it causes landlords to let their properties go down the drain. You can't fix them. You can't raise your property taxes and the insurances and the different costs, you know, to maintain a rental property goes up year to year. It never goes down. And a lot of times, a lot of these landlords are operating almost at even. Very little profit they're making off these rental properties. Very little. I made nothing off the rental properties I owned. I actually lost money. And it was a nightmare within itself. But it had to do a lot to do with the legal system. It's like I said, you know, if you're battling people, and back when I was when I had to do evictions, this was the late 90s. They were getting at least 3 months of free living before I could actually evict them. Now it's much worse, and she wants to bring that nationwide along with price controls and tax breaks are never going to happen for the middle class.
Yeah.
It's all communism. She's taken like the worst parts of all these different communist Senate bills that were presented in the past year from Elizabeth Warren, who's a crypto. I could consider her more of a limousine communist than anything else. Bernie Sanders, Zionist, and various other communist senators are in the Senate. They're trying to push these bills through. But if you push these bills through, it is over for this country. There is no doubt in my mind that that's going to happen, because you cannot survive that type of governance. Because and it will be designed, by the way, just to finish off whatever's left of the country, to send it down the drain. You know, if you look at what's going on, they just laid off another. I mean, there's been so many mass layoffs going on, especially in California. Cisco. A system just laid off another 6,000 to 9,000 people. Mm-hmm. This just happened in the past couple of days. Silicon Valley they've been laying off. Not when they lay off in Silicon Valley, it's not just been a couple of hundred. We're talking multi-thousands have been getting laid off, and this has been a continuing trend that's getting growing and growing. You have Home Depot. President of Home Depot saying that the consumers are running out, have ran out of money.
When did this statement come up? I missed it.
This Home Depot made this statement a couple of days ago.
Okay.
They said that their in-store sales have plummeted. And it reflects, by the way, because Walmart just had an increase in sales. They had a profit revenue increase year over year. So that's what they're selling. Well, Walmart's having great sales, so the economy's saved and everything's wonderful. But the largest part of the, during that call that they their quarterly call said that a big part of it was because of lawn and garden. Well, it would make sense that if Home Depot and Lowe's home improvement centers are having losses and they're losing customers.
Yeah.
So what do they do? That would make sense why Walmart had an increase of sales in their lawn and garden departments, because they sell a lot more cheaper items in their lawn and garden departments than they do at Home Depot and Lowe's.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's people don't have the money to do home improvement projects anymore. They don't have, they're not going in and, you know, spending $500-$600 to do a, you know, flowers in the springtime that, you know, have a nice garden or a vegetable garden or stuff like that, or, you know, do home improvement projects, all that stuff. Like, I go into Lowe's sometimes and it's like, and I don't care what part of the day it is, it's usually dead. There's hardly anyone in there. I mean, it's like, it's mostly workers. Same with Home Depot. It's no different.
I hadn't been in Lowe's in years. I'd say 4 or 5 years much. It used to always be buzzy and busy and talking and, you know, people buying and no more, huh? So the Home Depot.
No.
All right.
Yeah, I'll look for that article. I'll look for that article.
Okay.
I'll send it to you during the break.
Okay, very good. All right, we'll pause. Come right back with Gary from Las Vegas. And just, I'm looking for it right now. We'll find it. All right, we'll be right back. Hold on. Okay, welcome back. Did you find it?
Yep, I actually sent you all a few articles. Pertaining to Home Depot. This is from CNN. Home Depot issues warning about the economy. And then another one from, it was from the marketplace.com. Home Depot says, this was during their earnings call that happened 3 days ago. Home Depot says customers are feeling economic uncertainty. And then I just sent you another article that just came out here, looks like within the past couple of days. New mass layoffs sends California job losses soaring. Because this same article, type article, Jeff, if you go back on Google, same article about California has been coming out like month after month now. It's like there was one from April, May, June, July, and it's always another fresh round of mass layoffs in California, which is why I think the unemployment rate in California is the highest in the country. And the problem with that is, especially with California, is that it starts in a state like California and it spreads like wildfire to every other state. Because California, like it or not, still has one of the largest economies, if it was its own, on its own, in the world. But that status is quickly going away, obviously, because the communist one-party system in California has ruined their economy to the point where I don't think there's any reversing it. For instance, you get laid off in California, there is no job, like, waiting for you to just go and apply and get. There's none. Like, the Silicon Valley is reeling. They're laying people off left and right. The spoiled brats that were like, well, I don't want to go to the office. And I understand some people, you know, they don't want, they got used to being at home.
They all want to work at home.
The excuse was, the first liar reports that came out, which I know not to be true. Never in a time does anyone work at home. I mean, there's a few exceptions, you being one of them, Jeff, and I know how hard you work. And, you know, and I have my business and I do my things. But I'm talking in general.
Right.
People who work for an employer, who work from home, have a tendency to be lazy. Not like lazy where they're just laying around not doing any work. But if you go to an office, and say 9 to 5, whatever, you tend to be more productive. At the beginning of COVID, they said, work productions went up so much higher since people started working at home. Everyone's all happy. That was just to sell the propaganda of you being told what to do and stay in your home and shut your mouth and, you know, and be a good, obedient slave to what the police state wanted you to do at the time. I understand why that news propaganda had came out at that time. That's the reason why. But as time has gone on, especially in the tech sector, these keyboard warriors, a lot of them refuse to go back to work in an office. They said, oh, no, I work better at home. I do this, I do that. Come to find out, the productivity fell by 20-30%. People weren't even like showing up to, weren't even logging in to their account for the at the beginning of the workday. Some wouldn't even show up.
So work at home. Work at home. 20-30% lack of working efficiency, whatever you want to call it. So in other words, when somebody works at home, you can just about chop off 1/3 of their productivity.
And as time has gone on since the initial wave of COVID work-at-homers, because you got to understand there was a lag there. Why? Because, like, if I had been working, say, 5 years straight or 10 years in an office setting, when I first started working at home, I still had that mentality of being at the office, right? So my productivity still stayed higher, and plus maybe even went a little bit higher because you had nothing better to do. You know, nothing was open, and you just stayed home all the time. So rather than just stare at the wall, you did more work right on your computer for the job. But as things opened up again, as things everything, you know, moved and started to, everything started opening, everything started getting back to normal, what they call normal. Then all of a sudden, the productivity at home for home workers started falling and falling. Now down to even 30% now of less productivity than 3 years ago. So we're meaning 30% of the time they're sitting on their couch watching TV, showing up late to meetings. You know, these online meetings they're supposed to have, they weren't showing up to them. People weren't just, like I said, some people just weren't even logging in. Especially, by the way, Jeff. The VA, the Veterans Administration, had tons of people working from home. And there was multiple reports that came out, like workers at veteran, especially the government workers, who are not afraid of losing their jobs. It pretty almost becomes like an act of Congress to fire these people. They're normally lazy, even at a government office. You know, I would say in my dealings with government workers, I'd say 90-95% are lazy. And then I know there's probably government workers out there who'd be mad at me at this point saying this, but that's the truth. You get a government job, most government workers are lazy. They don't do much. And not their, you know, they why? They have no incentive to. There's no one over them, you know, threatening to, you know, fire them or anything if they do a bad job. It's encouraged a lot of times. Incompetence is rewarded working in the federal government. So then not only do you have that mentality when they're at the office, then they took a lot of the federal workers are still to this day working from home. And you can imagine what that looks like.
Got it.
I mean,
sure.
You know, they were lazy enough, at the office. Now you have them like sitting at home. You're lucky if they're coming into work once or twice a week. I mean, and they're getting paid for full-time work. And even in the private sector lost 30% productivity. I guarantee you if it was the federal workforce, state government, state governments, the local governments made their people come back. Federal workforce, I would guarantee you, even though when they're in the office, their productivity is really bad. The bar even was set much, much lower when they were working from home. I would assume a lot of these people might show up once a week. I mean, I've read things online where in these rooms where they say, you know, hey, I work for this federal agency, 3/4 of my office works from home, and you never hear from them. They just log in once a month and check in once in a while, and there's no product, there's very little work coming out of them. And they're just staying home getting paid. And that's when you have
I get it.
A bureaucracy that's grown to the point where it's unmanageable.
Right.
I mean, the largest employer job in the United States, by the way, is the federal government. Most people don't realize that.
No, they don't. This all means the obvious. Seriously. If they put the communist camel in Weird Waltz, in. We're done. We're done. We don't have a Congress. We don't have a Supreme Court we can even rely on. We know about the normal courts in this country. That this is really going to be the end of America as we knew it, if they put the communists in openly, overtly, to take this country down. And that's exactly what the Camel and her likely Mossad dual citizen husband are going to do. They'll try as much as they can. They'll certainly go along with instructions. And then you got Waltz. And that guy's a piece of work. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I refer to him, his name, I made a name up for him. I mean, I didn't, Tampon Tim AWOLS, because that's what he is. He went AWOL, obviously, you know, I don't, you know, look, when it comes to Iraq, I was completely against the Iraq war, but he's trying to sell himself as a Iraq war veteran when he never even went, knew at least a year before he retired, they got the early warning orders to, you know, start preparing, which every unit, this is what happens with a lot of units. They get early warning, you know, hey, get all your affairs in order, get all your gear in order, get everything up to date. You're going to be deployed next year. There is no change in that. And so he knew that. And then he even told his troops, I'll be there and I'll meet up with you guys. And it was just a lie. He lied right to their face with a smile. And then he was on TV saying that, calling his own troops losers who were just 19-year-old cooks who didn't know nothing. That's him. The same guy, by the way, where he watched the city of Minneapolis being burnt down by communists and crazy people.
Yeah. Yes,
and his wife bragged about opening the window and enjoying the smell of the burn,
that's insane.
Smell of the city.
That's,
she enjoyed
that's
it.
Sick. That's sick. So, well, they're sick. These people are ill. Dangerous.
Well, they're obviously the man's a psychopath. When he pushing tampons into boys' bathrooms. By the way,
he wants to normalize
pedophilia.
Right. He wants to normalize pedophilia. So does the Camel. They both do.
And if you look at the Tim Walz, what did he do? Most people don't understand that he lived in China for 1 or 2 years.
So he's made made over 30 visits to China. 30.
Yep. And he lived there. And in 30, by the way, what were some of them trips over to China? A lot of them are high school students on learning trips. My intention, this is just my opinion. This is not an accusation, but this is my opinion. I would believe that probably Chinese CCP intelligence has probably lots of pictures of him doing wrong things with underage children, maybe on the high school trips that he took with them. I don't know.
God,
but the guy is a creep. You look at how the man acts.
No, he really is a creep. He's bad.
He is creepy. Yeah. And like, even made I agree with J.D. Vance on this point. I don't agree with that man on very much. But when he gave his acceptance speech, instead of like hugging and kissing his wife, he just walks up to her and gives her a handshake like she's his business partner, which she is. You see,
yes.
The man's never he's never affectionate to his wife. Never.
No, he's
it's
well,
just
he's
shake hands, and that is a telltale sign of what he really is.
Of course,
he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
He's there for a business relationship. She probably has lots of blackmail on him. So she's hoping she's going to be put in the position of the vice president's wife, and she's going to travel the world.
Yes, of course.
On government dime,
Common
and he's going to be there
nature.
With the yeah. Yep, and he's going to be, it's going to be the same, same operation. You have, there's a reason why everyone calls her Ho Harris. She slept with every Democrat power broker up the chain to where she got to today. Her husband is a cuckold, strange, very, very strange Jewish man who I think was involved in something to do with his, like, cheating on his last wife and did some really dirty things to his last ex-wife. Her actions speaks for itself. I mean, the way she was with Willie Brown, multiple different Democrat donors and different stories about her, which more than likely, again, if you probably were getting behind the scenes, she's still doing them things. She's not changing herself. You're not going to change. Its colors. And you have Tim Walz, who's weird. And just, look, he has that Joe Biden creepy feel to him. He just has that aura about him that he's just extremely creepy.
I couldn't agree more. If you can't see it, you don't want to see it or you're blind, one or the other.
You have the mainstream media said he's a friendly uncle. I would say more of what they used to call, the funny uncle. Because what they used to call a molesting uncle, the funny uncle. And they're trying to present him as just an old friendly grandpa type, like he's just your old friendly white grandpa
type.
From the upper Midwest.
You could see him dressing up as Santa.
Yeah.
And putting children
on
his lap.
The creep Santa, though.
Oh, for sure.
But his actions are nothing like your friendly upper Midwest grandpa. White grandpa type from the upper Midwest of Minnesota or the upper region of Minnesota. He's an insane maniac who does everything is about communist. Everything he does is through a communist lens. If you just look at, there's a video out, Jeff, and I'll send it to you. There's a video out when during the time they were rioting and he was allowing Minneapolis to go complete bonkers. There was a police force walking through a neighborhood, and they were going through an average neighborhood in Minneapolis, and all these people were doing it on their own porch, filming these police walking down the street. And then you hear these thug cops, these stormtrooper looking uniforms. Get the F in your house. Get the F in your house. And the people said, I'm on my porch. I have a right to stand there. They started shooting these people with tear gas paintballs.
Yeah, I remember.
On their own property.
Now he's
running,
look,
by
he's,
the way, if you notice, there was a Humvee driving down the street at that time, too, and an AMRAP. Mm-hmm. It was like out of a scene out of, like, there were somewheres in Fallujah.
Right.
And this was all under the orders of Tim Walz. Tim A. Walz. Also, by the way, we're throwing people in jail for violating mask mandates. It's one of the states, Minnesota is one of the few states that was literally jailing people for violating the governor's COVID orders, which were draconian. He had some of the most dystopian orders, Jeff, of all the states. I mean, Hawaii was really bad. Minnesota was just as bad as Hawaii. This man had he has these tyrant tendencies to him. And I would choose to believe if there is going to be a case where they're going to place these two, he's going to be running a lot of the stuff behind the scenes. Because let's face it, the camel isn't a very bright person. She's not.
She's an idiot.
There's nothing in any speech she's ever given that shines any light on her IQ. I mean, that shows anything that she has any type of high, even a mid-level IQ.
No.
She's very low IQ. No. And that's why she had to do what she did to get where she was.
Okay.
So she's going to be basically a dumb figurehead dummy. You're going to have Tim Walz, A. Walz, creeping around the White House with young children, doing what he does. And, of course, he's going to be pushing the evil part of this, of any policy. We know what we're going to get with Donald Trump. You already know what you're going to get. Lots of Israel worshiping, lies about, him over-exaggerating everything he does by the 10th degree.
Sure.
We know that. You'll have Vance in the background doing the bidding for Peter Thiel, doing bidding for Israel because he's a Israel diehard Israelite. The policy, by the way, for the poor Palestinian people, it doesn't matter who gets in. The policy for the Palestinians, by the way, is not going to change. Full spectrum dominance, supported by billions and billions of ultra high-tech weaponry from the United States, not the junk that we're giving Ukraine, not that stuff. This is the most advanced equipment, the advanced, most highly sophisticated, efficient killing weaponry, by the way, that we have to offer. Israel's getting that. Because it's designed, these weapons are designed.
We just gave them another $20 billion worth, including 50 F-15s.
Yep.
In that $20 billion package.
All these weapons that are given Israel is for high efficiency, maximum kill.
Well, it's genocide.
That's what these weapons are designed for.
Weapons. That's right.
Yes.
All correct.
And by the way, we have another problem now with Ukraine going into Russia. They're using NATO weapons when we talked about Vladimir Putin, what is he doing? Because now they've invaded your country, and there's no response.
He's on a leash. That's what caught, Russell Bentley, I think, was... murdered because of that. He was well aware of that, and he would talk to me about it directly. He wouldn't say it on the program, but the Jewish oligarchs run Russia. Putin is a figurehead. He's on a leash. He's a very smart man. He's a very interesting diplomat to watch. We understand that. But it's clear to me and to you as a veteran that had Russia wanted to defeat Ukraine, it would have been done a year ago or longer. They would have just smashed it.
Way much longer, much longer. This would not have been allowed to linger on. They wouldn't have lingered it on. At the end of the day, now we're at this point. If he had said anything where there's encroachments into the homeland of Russia, it would be response through nuclear response. But I don't see that happening. I don't know what they plan on doing. With they're using all the German tanks, by the way, that they're using. They're using other NATO weaponry. Now we've given them, F-16s.
They can't use them yet. They're trying now to hire NATO pilots who are competent. And by the way, the invasion of Russia also included Americans, British, French mercenaries, but they really aren't mercenaries. They're troops. So we had advisors in there all the way. This was, you know what's interesting to me? We're supposed to assume that Russia's entire military intelligence operation missed the massing and planning of that invasion into the Kursk region. That is ridiculous
impossible.
To me. I can't.
It's impossible.
No.
Because the Russian, their version of, it's not the KGB anymore. I think it's called the Russian
FSB.
Service Secrets. FSB, right? They have so many agents on the ground and actually literally have infiltrated the Ukrainian military.
Well,
because you got to understand, there's a lot of Ukrainian sympathizers to Russia still. So they're the Ukrainians that are actually spying for them. They knew this, and it's allowed to happen. Again, this seems to be, to me, it's starting to look more and more now to where this is just a conflict that's just here. It's going to be, it reminds me of the Iran-Iraq war.
It reminds me of World War One. The line of engagement, look at it, all up and down Donbass is virtually the same as it was when Russia took over Donbass and liberated all those people and allowed them to become Russian citizens. It's the same. They haven't. The line is still. And right now, this moment, after over 600 and some days of fighting, the Ukrainians can still shell Donetsk anytime they want. That should never have been allowed to continue.
No.
It's all pretty obvious that, for some reason, Putin was told, stop Iran from launching its counterattack, its retaliatory attack. Stop the Iranians. We're not ready for that big of a war yet. So that's why Iran has backed down at this point. I think that's clear to me. Gary, thank you. We'll talk soon. Keep up the good work, and the analysis is always very helpful, so we'll talk. Maybe next time we can look at the military thing again. This Kursk invasion, yeah, it stinks. It's just it's ridiculous.
None of it makes any sense. It doesn't. None of it.
I agree.
Everything Russia's done, by the way, Jeff, for the last year has not made any sense.
Well,
none of it.
And Russell Bentley is dead, so there you go. Shoigu was never he was just a bureaucrat. He was the wrong guy in the wrong... He shouldn't have been there. The only guy that the Russians have ever had, the only man who ever really understood it clearly, was Yevgeny Prigozhin. And Prigozhin was murdered for it. That's another one you can take to the bank. His Wagner group was the best fighting force in the world, according to several people at the time.
Yep.
And he knew how to end the war with Ukraine. That's why he rebelled in that particular moment. Right before he was killed, anyway.
And why is that, Jeff? I'll tell you why. Because he was a Russian, true Russian patriot. He was fighting for Mother Russia. He wasn't fighting for whatever Zionist, agenda is in play at the moment. He was fighting for Mother Russia, which is why he had to be taken out.
You're totally right. Okay, good night. Take care. Talk soon.
You too. Have a good night, Jeff.
Thank you. All right, we got to say good night. Have a good weekend. Back with you Monday. In the meantime, the network will run all the time for you. So enjoy. Take care.